Hello, beloved. What a privilege to do part four of the beauty of Pentecost. It's such a privilege to be with you and to share with you the amazing beauty that we find in Pentecost. We started this mini-series on the beauty of Pentecost by looking at the dwellings of God. You know, with the beauty of Pentecost being the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, came to indwell believers. We then started looking at some evidence, you know, evidence that we will find in someone that will clearly show that such a person is indeed indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now today, what we're going to do is just to continue to focus on some more evidence, specifically Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. When we look at someone who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, this is some of the evidence that will show that the person is actually truly indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Right, before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to come to you again and to study this amazing topic. I pray, Father, that you will open up the hearts to receive the truth of your word and minds to understand it. Enable me to share it with your people, Father, and make it clear, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, in our passage, we see that believers who are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, who walk in step with Him, will first of all encourage one another. What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 19. We read, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the idea here is that believers should be singing and reciting, reading, or speaking to one another. But the way they do it should be, and this I believe is in corporate worship now, and they should do it using psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is when we are interacting with one another. Yesterday we saw that someone who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit will have moments of spontaneous praise and worship to the Lord. It is personal worship. So there will be this personal worship in the life of someone who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will also move in the congregation. He will move the congregation towards corporate worship. You see, beloved, the Holy Spirit will work individual worship in us towards the Lord for all that He has done for us, all He has done on our behalf, but He will also work corporate worship among us. And He will do it for His glory. Now here in verse 19, we see the Holy Spirit is the one who moves the congregation to corporate worship. It's interesting to note that the kind of worship that he moves in this context, and that is, it compromises of three kinds of singing, reciting, and reading, or speaking, if you may. First, it's psalms, then he speaks about hymns, and he speaks about spiritual songs. Now, beloved, the Spirit of God will cause us to sing, to recite, to read psalms to one another. And psalms here basically refers to Old Testament psalms. When we read the Old Testament psalms, it actually fills us with encouragement, I believe. I mean, we read about David, for example, who wrestled with God after he sinned with Bathsheba, né? And how he received forgiveness from God and how he was restored by God. We read about David's trials and tribulations during the time when he was declared king, but he was still under the reign of Saul, and how God enabled him to be victorious in all of it. We read in the Messianic Psalms, for example, about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the deliverance that he would bring. We read about so much in the Psalms. And we see how God is the one who is a refuge in times of need, times of trouble. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What an encouragement. Now the Psalms are, I believe, one of those huge encouragements to God's people. Because we not only do we see the, the bad or the wrong or the things that happens in people's lives, but we see God at work. We see what God does for the believer. So what the Scripture does, or the Holy Spirit, not the Scripture, sorry, what the Holy Spirit does is He works it in us, in God's people, to encourage one another by singing and reciting and reading the Psalms to one another. Why? Because it was inspired by Him. It is the Holy Spirit who is the author of the Psalms. And because He's the author of the Psalms, obviously He will be the one who uses His own Psalms that He wrote. Obviously He used David and others, but He will use His own Psalms to encourage God's people. But how does He do it? Is He going to stand on a mountain top and start reciting it? No, that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So what the Holy Spirit is going to do is He's going to use us to read it to somebody else, to sing a psalm, to recite a psalm to fellow believers. And especially when it's in time of trouble, because it is so encouraging. But have you noticed that the church is actually neglecting the Psalms in the day and age we're living in? You see, beloved, the Holy Spirit loves to remind us of the old truths, so that we can then take those old truths and encourage others to keep living for the Lord, to stand strong. But it's as if people don't want to, how can I say, go back to the old truths. They want something new. I stand amazed when I hear the words, God is doing a new thing. But when we read the Scriptures, yeah, it's true that God does new things. It's true. But amazes me how many times He reminds us of the great truths of the past. How many times He reminds us that we need to hold on to the things that has been said and that has been taught. And here again, He reminds us that we need to sing psalms to one another. We need to recite psalms and read psalms to one another. I know we shouldn't live in the past, but I believe that we should build on the past. And that's exactly what the Spirit wants us to do, is to take what is in the past and then build our here and now and our future on what the truths that we find in the past. And it's encouraging to know that God worked with David and all the others in the past. And it's encouraging to know that He will work with me, with us, with you. But I think it seems as if there's a concerted effort in the world today to try to erase the past. I mean, we even find this kind of phenomenon in the church, where there has to be new things all the time. I'm not saying that we shouldn't renew. That's not what I'm saying. But when it comes to the truths and the things that we need to be singing to one another, the things that we should be reading to one another and reciting to one another, it's clear. It needs to be the Psalms. It's part of it. Obviously, the way we do it, we can use music as a background. Our music style can change, whatever, but the Psalms needs to be the content. Now, Paul tells us in verse 19 that a believer who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit will sing, recite, and read the Psalms to one another as an encouragement. You see, beloved, when we walk in step with the Spirit, our objective will always be to help our brothers and sisters in their walk with God. Our objective will always be to encourage our fellow believers, not to break them down. That's never our calling. Our calling is to encourage one another, edify one another, love one another, be there for one another. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is this desire in us to be an encouragement to those around us. And I'm not saying we always get it right. But that's something that happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit indwells us. When we are filled with the Spirit, He will work through us to produce encouragement for others. And if you can't encourage others, you've got to ask yourself the question. If you cannot encourage, you must ask yourself the question, do you really have the Holy Spirit? Just watch the person who is constantly discouraging people in the Lord's work. Oh, that will not work. Oh, no, that has been tried. It will not work. And just discourage God's people all the time. And I wonder if such a person has the Holy Spirit or such a person is walking in step with the Spirit. No, I don't have to wonder. It's clear they're not. You see, you can know that a person is not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit if they constantly discourage God's people in God's work. No, we need to be encouragers. And encouragers are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. When a believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he or she will love to sing, recite, and read the Psalms of encouragement to fellow believers. And in turn, what will happen? He or she will enjoy being encouraged by listening to other believers sing and recite and read the Psalms to them. All right, but our passage also shows us that a believer who walks in step with the Holy Spirit, someone who is indwelt with the Holy Spirit and lives a Spirit-filled life, will edify one another. We will clearly see that. You see, we are told in verse 19 that believers should not only sing and recite and or read the Psalms to one another, they should also sing and recite and read hymns to one another. Now, this is what the text says. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, hymns, I believe, refers to songs that are filled with doctrinal truth. You see, singing and reciting and reading hymns to one another basically means that we will help one another grow in our understanding of the great doctrinal truths of Scripture. When we sing and when we recite and read the hymns, the great hymns of the past and the new hymns that is written about doctrinal truth, we are in fact edifying one another by reminding one another of these great truths. You see, when you sing and you recite and you read a hymn to someone else, you're basically edifying that person next to you. And the person that is next to you will be edifying you as you hear them sing and recite or read hymns which are filled with great biblical truths. It's kind of we are ministering to one another while we're actually just singing or reciting a hymn. You see, when a believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, he or she will love to sing and recite and read hymns, doctrinal, filled with doctrinal truth, which speaks about this, that the great biblical doctrines of Scripture. And it will edify the body of Christ because we want to hear these things. In today's world, I mean, the great doctrinal hymns are becoming less and less prominent. What has taken the place of the great hymns of old and the new hymns that are filled with doctrinal truth is contemporary music, with very little or no doctrinal content. And it's replacing the hymns. You could just listen. Singing about the love that I have, and like a love song to Jesus, and oh, the power of the, whatever, the waters are falling down, and what, all kinds of stuff. There's no content in it. Maybe it's because we are seeing another spirit at work in the church today. Remember, Paul warned the Corinthian believers about receiving another spirit, which you have not received, 2 Corinthians 11. Maybe it's another spirit that is at work in the church, and it's leading us into this contemporary thing where it's void of doctrinal, strong, solid doctrinal, biblical truth. But the thing that stands out, I believe, in our passage is that a spirit-indwelt, spirit-filled believer will love to sing and recite and read the great hymns which are filled with doctrinal truth. And I'm not just talking about the great hymns of old. I'm talking about hymns that are written with great doctrinal truths. They are good hymns that are written in the day that we are living in today. But our passage also shows us that we can see that someone is walking in step with the Holy Spirit in the way that he or she exhorts other believers. Look at verse 19 again. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, Paul is speaking about singing or reciting or reading spiritual songs to one another. Now, I believe that this refers to songs that are written about our daily walk with God. You know, the normal Christian living. Psalms speaks about Old Testament Psalms. It's written already. Holy Spirit inspired it, and we kind of sing it or read it or recite it. The hymns filled with great doctrinal truths. Nah? But the spiritual songs, I believe, refers to those songs which speaks about our Christian living, our daily Christian living. And when we exhort one another with Christian songs or spiritual songs, we're actually calling on one another to live the kind of life that is pleasing to God. When a believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he or she will sing and recite and read spiritual songs to other believers with the focus of exhorting that person, kind of not encouraging, but prompting that person and kind of trying to push that person to live the kind of life that God wants. You see, that's what we need to be doing. But it's somebody that's filled with the Spirit will want to do it. Exhort other believers to live the kind of life which is, which we can actually expect from other believers. Now, when a fellow believer stands next to me and sings a spiritual song or recites a spiritual song or reads a spiritual song, it should move me to have a closer walk with the Lord. Or to live the kind of life that is pleasing to God. To live the kind of life that is supposed to be visible in the life of someone who professes to believe in Jesus Christ and someone who professes that he is or she is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, our passage lastly also shows us something else. And this is that we will know the believer is walking in step with the Holy Spirit in the way that he or she exalts other believers. Look at verse 21. This is what it says. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Just listen to the motivator there. Submitting to one another. Why? Because there is fear of God. Not fear of man. I'm not afraid of the leaders or I'm not afraid of anything. I have the fear of God in me. I have a deep respect for God and adoration for God, and because God said that I need to submit to one another, or we need to submit one to another, therefore I do it because I fear God. But what does it mean to submit to one another? Well, the word submit is basically a military term, and it means to fall in rank under another person. And it basically, we can say that the first submission that it can refer to here is the obvious submission of let's say a normal soldier that submits under someone with rank. Now, in the army, if somebody is a corporal and you're just a troopy, then you got to submit to the corporal. But you got to submit to everyone that's got rank. Now, when we talk about a congregation, I think it speaks, it's kind of obvious that it speaks about the submission of the members to the spiritual leaders of the congregation. And just like the soldiers will submit to the people with rank, so members will submit themselves to spiritual leaders. That's kind of the obvious thing that we see here. And God appoints spiritual leaders in the church and for members to submit under them, because God has given them the ordained authority to kind of be spiritual leaders. They are responsible to lead the members of the church to submit to Christ, the head of the church. However, the submission that we read about here in verse 21, I believe, runs deeper than that. I believe it refers to believers putting everyone else ahead of themselves. As a believer, basically what it means is I will submit to the spiritual leadership in the congregation. Obviously, that's what I will do, because it is obvious that I need to do that. It's biblical. But I will also submit myself to my fellow brothers and sisters. And when we all do this, when we all submit to one another, we are all actually exalting one another. I'm submitting, so I'm exalting you. If I submit under you. You see, everyone will see the other believer as someone that they need to submit to. And in doing so, we are exalting one another. And when all the members of the congregation submit to one another, everyone is exalted. But in fact, everyone is actually being humbled by submitting to one another. And the thing is, this is what Paul is saying, a believer who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit will submit himself or herself to other believers. And in doing so, exalt them above him or herself. The thing is, once again, we are living in an hour when such thinking is unheard of. I mean, after all, everyone is demanding their own rights these days, aren't they? You hear, I have the right. I have a right. It is my right. I demand this and I demand that. But beloved, the Spirit-filled, Spirit-indwelled believer will submit to his or her fellow believers. And by doing so, exalt them above him or herself. Just listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is what we read. Do not act out of selfish ambition or conceit, but with humility think of others as being better than yourself. That's the exaltation. You see that? Do not be concerned about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. Now, when you continue reading this passage in Philippians chapter 2, when you continue reading, you will see how Paul uses Jesus Christ as the ultimate example of what he was writing about here in verses 3 and 4. That we should not have act out our selfish ambitions or our conceit, but think of others being better than ourselves. That we are not concerned about our own interests, but the concerns of our fellow brothers and sisters. And Christ is the ultimate example of that. You see, beloved, when we walk in step with the Spirit, when we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He will enable us to forfeit our own rights for the good of the whole church. And we do that by submitting to one another. And through submitting to one another, we are exalting one another. So let me conclude. When believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and they walk in step with Him, we will see it in the way that they encourage one another. Now, by singing and reciting and reading Old Testament Psalms to one another. We will also see it by the way that they edify one another as they sing and recite and read the great doctrinal hymns. We will also see it as they exhort one another. Now, when singing and reciting and reading spiritual songs, and then we will also see it in the way that they exalt one another as they submit to one another. You see, true Spirit-enabled encouragement and edification and exhortation and exaltation of one another is only possible when someone is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and when she or he walks in step with Him. I would like to ask a question as I close. If you were personally arrested today on the charge of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and living in step with the Holy Spirit, would there be enough evidence to find you guilty? If our congregation were accused of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit or walking in step with the Holy Spirit, would there be enough evidence that we would all be arrested and found guilty in a court of law? Let me tell you, if not, there's a serious problem. And I think we need to work on it. We need to really run to the Lord because there's a problem. But if there's enough evidence, then I believe it is only because of the beauty of Pentecost, which is God the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Wow! Absolutely amazing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that enables us to live the kind of lives that you want us to live, that we can sing and encourage one another and do all these things that shows that we are indwelled because it's the Spirit working it in us. May that be true in our lives, we pray, Father, and in the life of our congregation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, until tomorrow, bye-bye.